Lord, we just come to you now with our hearts. We come to you as yours, Lord. We believe that what your Spirit can share with us is what we could never understand in our minds or understand, comprehend in our hearts. Things of your Son, things of the Lamb, and being one with him. Lord, thank you that we are dead so that we can find him in living in real ways, Lord, ways so far above this earth, so far above being who we are down here, but being who he is, bringing that glory down. Thank you for that, Lord, for making us one. We just ask that as we share tonight, your Holy Spirit, that you would be free to sing the song of the Lamb in our hearts, to draw us in to the place which is beyond knowledge, to know him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tonight is on flaying the sacrifice, and the verse in Leviticus we're at, which we have not finished the first chapter yet of the book. And, wow. And we've only, there's just so much of the Lord. But we're on chapter 1, verse 6a, and it says, "And he shall flay the burnt offering." Does anyone know what the word flay means? Okay, for the sake of time, I'm going to tell you. It's skin, to skin the sacrifice. So, "And he shall skin the burnt offering." All right. So we're looking at skin, at flaying. And I feel like the approach we're going to take is a heart approach to lead us into some things that are precious, I believe, very precious, very precious. Eternal provision. So in Revelation chapter 13, and verse 8, it says, "The book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." The book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So from before the world was founded, there was a slain lamb. And this is his book. Mm-hmm. Before the foundation of the world. So that means that there had to be a lamb even before there was sin and failure. That he was higher than all of that in the reality of his being. This lamb slain was and is to come God's provision for everything. From the foundation of the world, there was a slain lamb. And he was the provision for everything. Just think about that. There was a slain lamb. And he was the provision for everything that was going to come when he created this world and the worlds. He was going to be the provision. Not just because of sin, but because that's what the Father created it all for. This lamb was slain, and the elements of his being poured out in death is our eternal provision. You know, what is able to be released out of him because he was slain is our provision for everything, for everything. So the Father provides, and we see now we're in Genesis. We're going to the beginning in the book. We just went to the beginning before the foundation of the world. But now we're going to the first part of the book, the Bible. And we in chapter 1, and this is verse 24, we read, "And God said, let the earth bring forth, and living creatures after his kind, cattle, and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. So before God created man and woman, He created living creatures, all of them after his kind, and to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the face of the earth. So before there was Adam and Eve, there's all these animals. What were these animals there for? So there's a lamb that was provided from before there was a world, slain not particularly for sin, because of who he is and eternal provision for what was to come. And then in God's master beginning strokes of creation, he creates a planet full of living creatures, animals, beasts of every kind. And they're plenteous. They're teeming. The waters are teeming with life. The land is teeming with living creatures. You know, how many people do these guys need to feed? How many zoos are needing inhabitants? Why? For what reason? What purpose? What does all these animals, even before there was a human being, represent? I don't know. I'm not claiming to know that. I just think it's some thoughts that I feel like the Spirit may have planted in my heart years ago. I believe that these animals would provide food for us and clothing at the cost, and all of it at the cost of their own life. You know, no animal can provide food or clothing unless it dies. It has to die to give that for us. And that's really simple, and you guys may be way ahead of me in all this, and if that's the case, just bear with me. Just bear with me. You know, I need the Lord. But I feel like the Lord might have something for you, and it's the steps he gave me. They provide for us food and clothing at the cost of their own lives. So within the beast is the provision of skin and blood and flesh and all these things. And the skins cover us, and the blood atones, not in these, but, you know, in a type and shadow. The flesh fills. Before Adam or Eve or the animals were present, these animals were waiting. They were multiplying. They were filling the face of the earth. Even as God's heart ever abounds with grace towards us in the provision of his Son, that's beyond the measure of anything we could fathom. Like we've said before, you haven't fulfilled all your fails today. I think that's, we could never use up all the provision the slaughtered lamb has given. We can't use it up. So it's there waiting before time, before we were created. But the first things that came forth that were released was the skins. These were the first embrace of the lamb towards humans. And so in the story, in what happened with Adam and Eve when they fell, we see the skins appear. Remember, this is about skinning the sacrifice. So we're kind of looking at the eternal place of skin and the beginnings, mentions of skin, and just kind of following their heart story from God's heart. So these skins were provided to Adam and Eve after they sinned. So they really blew it, right? Really badly. And have no idea of anything. I mean, they don't know the eternal plan of God. They don't know that there's a lamb. They know that they really blew it. And so they blame each other, and they hide, and they use fig leaves and to cover their nakedness. Because once they fell, once they failed, what was one of the main things that happened to them in their consciousness? So they knew they were naked. They understood that they were naked. Okay. And so that nakedness made them self-aware, and they wanted to cover their nakedness. And so they used fig leaves to do that. They used fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And that's all they knew. And they hid from the presence of the Lord because they were aware of their nakedness. And they felt how you feel when you're naked, uncovered. You know, they felt uncovered. And so they wanted to be covered. But they couldn't be covered by God anymore in their minds because they failed God. So they were going to cover themselves. And they did that with fig leaves because that's pretty much the only clothing that was around at the time. JCPenney's wasn't there yet. So they had to go to the trees and use the leaves. And that's, you know, that's how they covered themselves. So God comes on the scene, and yes, he's dealing with them, but somewhere God killed one of these animals. The first animal to die, or animals to die, were the ones that became skins for Adam and Eve. Okay, first type of Christ crucified manifest on the planet with those little bunny rabbits or whatever they were that God dealt with to cover them. And so God comes to them with skins, and he just says, listen, you failed, but I have priested you through one of these thousands and millions of living creatures that are on this planet. Just a couple of them went into death, and I made a skin to cover you, and that represents my son. That's my son in my heart. That's a picture of what's going to happen when he goes to his altar and he is sacrificed. He is going to atone, but he's going to cover the sin of the world. He's going to cover the sin of the world. And the skin that I'm taking off of this sacrifice, because he had to flay an offering. Somebody had to make that skin. And to make that skin, that animal had to have its, had to be skinned. Had to be skinned. So that animal was skinned so that they could be covered, so their nakedness would be covered, so their relationship with God would be covered, not covered up, not dealt with, but covered. And it's a picture of Christ, you know, as our covering, and for him to become that as the burnt offering, as the fulfillment of the burnt offering. He had to be skinned. He had to be skinned. I don't have the words for that. I don't think words could honor the beauty of him whom we love and how he was skinned. And I think if we were able to behold the Lamb of God in the power of the Holy Spirit and see him as the sacrifice and the manner in which he was skinned to cover us, it'd break our heart. It'd break our pride. It'd break all these things with the beauty of his nature that would be shaved, just shaved, whipped, spit on, but it was skinned, made naked. We can talk about it. We can watch movies like The Passion of the Christ and look at a picture of the physicality of it. But what if you were sent to Auschwitz and they shaved all your hair off and they made you walk around naked and everybody looked at you because you contracted some disease that was awful and just spit at you and mocked you all day? And the Lord said, those very ones that are doing it, they're the ones you got shaved for. Cover them. Cover them. Cover them with your attitude, with your thought life, with the meditations of your heart, with your prayers, with the way you make them first and you last, not in religion, but in a beauty of nature that is beyond all we could ever be in ourselves. Love them. You lost your skin for them, or you just became a martyr to glory in your will worship and humility and be something in yourself separate from the Lamb. But if you're his members, you did it for them. You did it for them. You suffered that for them. And dead is the new pretty for God. His wife is beautiful, not because of her hair, which I've got a lot of, but because of her lack of hair, if you will. I'm not talking anything in the earth. I'm talking spiritually. Not because of her beautiful features, but because she joined him on Golgotha and lost all her beauty so others could be beautiful and covered, given life. And it just took his breath away. He said, "That's my wife. She looks like me. No, I want to look like Queen Vashti. I want to look beautiful." That's why we need to see him. Because when we see him, we want to be like him. Because we see how beautiful real beauty is. There is no beauty that they would desire him, it says in Isaiah 50. There's no beauty. There's nothing to be desired of. But she finds him beautiful because she sees real beauty. And it's funny because you think, oh, the real beauty is all the surface stuff. Jesus of Nazareth, doing miracles, having anointings, having a ministry. You know, all the things that we think are so special about Jesus. And we've been taught this so much that maybe it doesn't mean as much. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit is faithful when we want him. And then all that stuff is stripped away at Calvary, and he's skinned. Because what is Calvary? What is that? So it's the altar, isn't it? It's the altar. So when it comes time for Jesus to go to the altar or Calvary, it's time for him to be flayed. It's time for him to be treated like the sacrifice. And that's what happened. He fulfilled all those things we're reading in Leviticus. He fulfilled that. And he became that, and he did all that, and he was flayed. And all that beauty was taken away, all that covering and protection. But you know, for him who has eyes to see, and the real beauty showed up on Calvary, didn't it? The real beauty showed up on Calvary. How could we even not just stop there and just cry out? Should we just pray right now? Who wants that to be a teaching or a heart cry? Lord, we want to know you. We don't want to know about you. We don't want to be a minister about you in the outer court. We want to enter into the sacrifice. We want to see the beauty. We want to fellowship in the beauty. We want to be the body of that beauty, Lord. And Father, it's not about us circumcising ourselves and cutting our own flesh and being religious and legalistic and trying to do weird things like that. It's none of that. It's about letting you be you inside of us and all the beauty of your ways filling us like a sun rising and a day star dawning and sweet savor and all that's beyond all human words. We want you. We want our heart to be captivated with you. Yes. Lord, we want that to catch our eyes, that to catch our heart. Lord, you're so beautiful. So we ask, Father, that you would just draw us, that we might run right into him. Right into the very chambers of his heart. Know him there. In Jesus' name. So he's covering all these people that are his own disciples, ran away from him. Do you think he felt uncovered? And the very people he gave his life for, loved, believed in, prayed for, in all kinds of ways they didn't know, died for. And yet, in a moment when the sense realm looked different, they believed the worst and left him what? Uncovered. They uncovered him. I know I'm guilty of that. I have uncovered people who have loved me and died for me in the Lord. I've uncovered them in my thought life at times. And I'm like, Lord, that's just me, and I'm so sorry, but I have to get the Lamb now. I can't do that. It's breaking my heart, but I will do that. That's my nature. And what does he do? He covers me. And the people I was doing it to, they covered me. I don't know whether they knew or not. They probably did to some degree. But they covered me. And it required them to die to cover me. They didn't just give me some big old hug and say, I love you. They may not have even hugged me at all. Doesn't have to do with hugs. Deep inside, they just stayed really clean, and they loved me and believed in Christ in me and kept bearing all that until Christ could be formed in me. And that's Jesus. That's why they were covering to me, because they kept dying for me. How do you know what a covering is? Someone who keeps dying for you and covering you like skin until Jesus grows in you. That's a covering. Isn't it something? And Jesus covers us. He covered everyone, the whole world, with his skin on Calvary. He let them all uncover him. He let them think he was ugly. Only the Father thought he was beautiful. He let them make him naked. This is the Son of God. Naked. I mean, naked. That is shameful. He bore the shame of it. This is the Son of God. I know they always put a little loincloth on there, and maybe there was. But naked. Uncovered. Completely uncovered. And then the Father turns his back on him. So he's lost his covering and every other form of covering. Friends, father, clothing, skin, reputation, everything. Flayed. It's all flayed. And for who? He didn't need to die. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had no need to go through that. It was all for his enemies. It was all for the people who were uncovering him. And we say, I want to be your member, Jesus. I want to be the members of Jesus. This is what it looks like. Beloved, love one another as I have loved you. What does that mean? It means keep covering one another. At your own death, die daily for one another by the Lamb. Keep dying. Keep dying. And sometimes the Lord will ask you to say something, and you say it in a right spirit, but they hate you for saying it. And it's the Lord to say it to help them get to Jesus. What do? You die. You die more, and you keep covering them, because that's what the skin of Jesus does. That's what the skin, doesn't it say we're flesh of his flesh? That's what his flesh does. That's what his flesh does. We're the body of the sacrifice. We're the body of the sacrifice. And when it is the wife of the Lamb who's allowing him to be that in her, it's a wedding feast. It is the sweetest, most intimate fellowship with Jesus. Almost to the point where you just go, thank you for giving me that opportunity to be your skin. You know, most of people are like, I don't want anyone to not like me. I don't want anyone to think bad of me. I don't want anyone to have a problem with me. You know what I mean? I don't want any of that. I don't want the devil to stir up people against me. You know what I mean? I don't want that. But you just go. But if that happens and I can be his skin, this is giving the Father his Son in sacrifice. This is being the wife of the Lamb. This is intimacy. This is eternal oneness. This is the best. Thank you, Lord. For what? For the hands that are putting the nails in. Thank you. Why? Because I'm a masochist. I love pain. No, because here I can say, Father, forgive them and cover them and become skin, become your skin by your spirit, not me. And I feel you in there. It's your, oh my God, right? Who has words? So the spirit of skin is to cover. The spirit of flaying or of skinning is to uncover. So There's abundance of provision in the slaughtered lamb, more than the earth being filled with little lambs. And we can't exhaust the supply. It's endless. We can't limit a limitless love. We can just receive abundance of grace and reign in life by one. But the spirit of those skins is to cover. The spirit of flaying is to uncover. It's to uncover. And we'll look at both of those. Let's start with covered. Oh, I think we're on Adam and Eve still there, huh? Okay, the tabernacle is covered by skins. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skin, dyed red, and a covering above of badger's skins. So even in the heavenly pattern for the tabernacle given to Moses, skins covered the entire structure. If you look down from an aerial view, you just see badger skin and then this white linen around it, because the place where God dwelled that represented his body, God tabernacling in us, was just covered in these animal skins, badger skins, but representing, I believe, the skin of Christ crucified covering us, being in him. Through death, Christ has made us one flesh with himself. As we progress in our relationship with God through the tabernacle, we see our relationship with the skin progress. So at the entrance of the tabernacle, at this brazen altar where the sin offering is offered, our relationship with the skin is just to atone for our skin. When that offering is flayed at the brazen altar, it is flayed to cover our sin, and we need it. And we aren't going to enter into the tabernacle without that death. And we need that blood and that death and that skin to cover us. And so we enter in, and we're in, you know, the outer court, if you will, just coming on in. And as things happen in the inner court, which is very ministry-related, you know, there, we understand on certain fronts that we are his in ministry, but it's in the Holy of Holies where we know that we are dead, and that we are dead. No man can see God and live. When we pass through that veil, it's not I anymore. You don't enter into the presence of God and live. So in that relationship, there's only one, and that one is the slaughtered lamb, and those who have entered in by him and are truly dead. And in that place, we see the cherubim. Remember those guys? I don't know if I have them written here. So covering the mercy seat are the cherubim, these two angels. Remember, we talked about those in Ireland. Exodus 25, verse 18, and thou shalt make two cherubim of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. And make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on the two ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Here it is, they're covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another towards the mercy seat, shall the faces be. All right, so these two cherubim have their wings stretched like this to cover the lamb, or the life of God, the presence of God that dwelt in the ark, in the Holy of Holies. God himself, the Shekinah glory, dwelt there. So God was there. And these cherubim are coverers. They cover him. It's with wings, it's not skin, but it's the same spirit of covering. But here's the interesting part. When they look at each other, because it says in this verse that their faces shall look to one another, toward the mercy seat shall their faces be. It's kind of saying two things in one thought. It's sneaky. But I think it's saying when they look at each other as they're covering the lamb, they only see him. And I think it's because they only see him that they can cover him. Because if we look at one another and those Amorites are there, forget it. We are going to flay and not be flayed, you know. And all things in their time. You know, we're going to be where we're at, and God's going to cover us and bring us in, because we are one with him, and he loves us. And love covers a multitude of sins. Thank you, Lamb of God. But, yeah, Lord, what, you had that written down, didn't you? Uh-huh. Okay, well, here, let's. That's good. Right. So, so they're going to look at each other, but they're going to see that not just this box of wood covered with gold is, but that in the body of the risen Son, Jesus is there. I mean, the real Jesus is there inside of every born-again believer. He may not be formed fully. He may not manifest regularly, or he may, I don't know. But we're to know one another in Christ. And when we do, there's a spirit in it. Now, knowing one another in Christ doesn't mean that you don't see things that aren't a result of things that aren't Christ coming forth. You know, it's not like you have some blind, oh, I'm not going to see anything. I'm just going to believe it's all the Lord. It's not all the Lord. There's a lot of stuff that's coming forth that ain't Jesus, you know. But in our hearts, we don't cover up. See, that's another false thing. We don't cover up, but we cover. We believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, beareth all things. That's love. Lay our life. And in so doing, give them the grace to let Christ be formed in them. You know what I mean? When people are uncovered, it's like, I can't bear this because I don't have enough Jesus yet to do the things that are required of me. And I'm freaking out. I need covering, not so I can cover up, but so Christ can be formed in an atmosphere of death. Because if someone's really covering you, they're dying. And if you're not being flayed, you're flaying. And that's going to work something in you in the process. Okay, so yeah, Caitlin's getting the spirit of it. I mean, because it's strong if you get it. I mean, it's powerful. It's heart powerful. It is to me. I personally know this from the Lord dealing with me. From both sides of it, honestly, from both sides. And may it be more from his side as I continue to let the Lamb form, right? But we want to know it from both. Is it possible to know it from both sides where you're covering and yet uncovering at this? It is, because he's growing. And but if you are in that area being covered because your flesh is releasing on someone, and that person, instead of judging you and, you know, you may say, well, then why are they preaching the cross at me? Why are they making, because they're loving you. We're not talking about compassionate ministering your flesh straight to hell so you don't get the Lamb. We're talking about real covering, real love that spareth not. Amen? But love, willing to take the bullet for that. So something's going to give. Something's going forth. A bullet came out of the gun. An arrow was shot from the bow. It may be a little tiny, you know, slingshot with a little tiny pebble. Something was released and it's going somewhere. Someone's going to get hit with it and they're going to do something. They're going to either sling it back, which is just devouring one another's flesh. No one's getting flayed. Everyone's biting and devouring. Beware lest you do bite and devour one another and consume each other. So that's what happens when nobody wants to die. Then everyone gets consumed. That's Galatians chapter 6. Yeah. And you go, I don't know why there's a sense of deadness in the corporate body. I'm not saying there is here at all. But I don't know why there seems to be stagnation. Well, could it be that no one's willing to die and cover? Everybody just wants everyone else to be Jesus. So no one's going to take a bullet in a right spirit. They're going to fake lamb it. I'm going to fake it out. I'm going to do a fair show in the flesh, which is what? A false flaying. It's a circumcision by the flesh. You say, I would never do what those Judaizers were doing in Galatians, trying to make people circumcised. I'm going to Gilgal. I'm a Gilgal gal. I'm not one of those, you know, of the concision that teach us to, you know, cut our own flesh off and deny the cross. Are you? Because I'm talking to me. I'm not saying it to you. Everyone thinks I'm talking to them. I'm never talking to anyone. I'm just talking to myself mostly. If I look at you, it has nothing to do with you. There's five people in this room. I'm going to look at you sometime. You know, please don't make me worry about when I'm looking at you. I am not looking at you with any specific thought in my mind ever, except for I hope they don't think that. Okay, so, but Gilgal, okay, so, so you go, I am not of the concision. I'm a Gilgal gal. I'm in it for the real cross. And then someone just throws a little pebble at you, and it, bam, hits your skin and leaves a mark, and you're fuming. Oh, and immediately you're like, ah, yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, deep things, deep things, deep things. Yes, I'll do everything, and I'll have a really sweet spirit about it. Yeah, yeah. And inside you're like, I can't even believe this. Oh, my gosh. I am so hurt. How long am I have to live with this person? It is never going to end. The beast is in the, how many days are we going to be in this ark? Oh, my God. I can't stand this. Oh, my gosh. It's irritating me to no end. I can't even think now. All I think about is this thing that was wrong. And they claim to know the Lord. How can that happen? And, oh, my gosh, I'm just judging them, judging them, judging them. And, hi. Hi. Let me tell you, that is a false flaying. At some point, someone has to die a real death with the lamb and be skinned. I mean, take the bullet and not just, and then you got the martyrs on the other court, other side of the court, and they're just, oh, I love fellowshipping in his suffering because I am such a blessed member. I'm not going any further with all that. But, you know, I am such a deep sufferer for God, and I'll bear it, you know, and whatever. And everyone needs to know a little bit about this because I have to know that others know. And, you know, that's another fake death. And it really is a biting and devouring because it's flesh against flesh. No one skinned. See what I mean? Flesh and flesh. There's no one skinned. No one wants to take the shame of... So we're willing to be flayed, quote unquote, if there's no shame involved. But the very principle of being skinned is that you look bad when you really have a good heart. You're loving them and you look like a criminal. You're full of life and you look naked and wrong. You're skinned. So I'm willing to bear with you if you know that I'm bearing with you. You know what I see when I see that? You ever seen those gargoyles in Europe on the buildings? Those grotesque little... I see, instead of two cherubim, I see two gargoyles. Looking like, I mean it. The Holy Spirit gave me this picture. It's two gargoyles, not cherubim. It could make me cry. Like vultures. And they're just looking at each other like, you're wrong and I'm right, and you're wrong and I'm right, and you're wrong and I'm right. And there's the slaughtered lamb right there bearing all that crap. Because it's his body. Talk about not being aware of his heart. And I ain't moving. Because I'm right. You shape up. Flesh against flesh. There's no death. No one wants. And we love the lamb. We're cherubim. No, we're not your gargoyles from hell. I mean, that is the nature of Satan, the father of all that junk. That's not cherubim. That's not wife of the lamb. That's not Jesus in his body. That's the uncircumcised. That's the flesh that was never cut off. That's the flesh that stayed intact and wouldn't yield to the cross of its own crucifixion. And so when someone comes to flay you, oh, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it in a way that makes me look good. You haven't lost any skin. You've gained beauty. You have gained stature in your false flaying. How can that be the sacrifice? There's going to be a real death involved, and it will only be before the eyes of the Father. But it won't matter if you love them by the love of Jesus. They never need to know. You don't want them to know. It would ruin your heart for them. Why would you want them to know? That would be awful, wouldn't it? If it was the lamb, you wouldn't want them to know. You want to be so quiet and just low that they don't even know. It's just be covered and grow. Just grow. Just grow. That's all you're saying is grow. I just want you to grow. Don't think about anything of that. Just grow. You're in Christ and you're covered. Grow. Let him form. He can't form unless you're covered, because you don't have enough of that yet to go to the altar and be flayed yourself. But when you grow as you're covered, see, the tabernacle covers them all the way to the Holy of Holies. They're covered by love and oneness until they're ready to go on the altar with a burnt offering in the Holy of Holies. They're covered. So you just say, all those little ones that come, they're going to drive you crazy. You know, a new little one comes in the ark, and you're like, oh my gosh, here it comes. Here it comes. Like, this is going to require death. It's going to require death. Why? Because Christ isn't formed in them yet. I mean, they may actually have a better heart than I do, or you do, or we all do combined, but the lamb can't come out of someone until he's formed. That's not a lack of Jesus' love. It's just a lack of time to grow. So God gives a body full of lambs. And what do? They become a covering. They become a covering, and they go, my gosh, all the things I've been learning for all this time, I get to live now. Because God's bringing the young ones in, and they're going to require death of me. So instead of me always being covered by everyone else, I've had time to grow now. And I've had time to receive so much that Jesus is actually in there in some real ways. And I'm going to get to be skinned now. And they're going to get to be the one who gets covered. The cycle of life continues. But instead we could go, oh my gosh, this is going to be like, oh my gosh, problems. This is going to, you know, ruin my groove. You know, this is going to be your groove. This is the door into actually living the Lamb. This is like God's provision for Christ to come forth in a way of maturity now. We get to be the skin. And they're going to do all their little things, and we get to absorb it by being flayed. Not just to be flayed. Jesus wasn't flayed just because he's like, I love having everything shaved off of me and being naked and ridiculed and spit on, and I just love that. I'm weird. But the logic of it's there. He would never have done any of that except it was going to cover us. He loved it, and we love it because all those enemies are going to be covered. And if they're covered, they might see the kind of love that covered them and want it too, and partake of his divine nature and become a body for him. You see what I'm saying? But even if they didn't become a body, he's not doing it for the benefit to him. He just loves. It's his nature. So he's doing it because it's going to minister life to them. It's going to love. It's just his. God is love. So we get these opportunities to actually be his body in real ways. But if our flesh isn't flayed, a real circumcision doesn't really come, then all we have is our flesh pretending to be the sacrifice. And that only goes so far. That only goes so far. And that's not because we don't love the Lord. It's just our flesh only goes. It has to be Jesus. But if it is him, then oh my gosh, it's like the heavens open. The Father says, there's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The fragrance rises. The odor soothes him. This place is no longer just a place of teaching, but a place of altar fire and sweet savor and the lamb being offered to the Father in sacrifice. We need these things. Beware when all men speak well of you. Just find places to be one body with the Lamb and be his skin. Be his skin. So there's covering. First, we bring the offering to the Lord. We lay our hands on its head. We kill it. We sprinkle the blood. But by the time we flay it, now we're really involved with the body of the sacrifice. And when we take the skin away, guess what's uncovered in the sacrifice? Yeah, the inward parts. Now we get to see the beauty of the Lord. You will not know the beauty of the Lamb unless you're willing to be flayed with him. You got to get the skin off to see the good stuff underneath. Isn't that beautiful? That was my favorite thing he shared. You got to get the skin off to get to the good stuff. All that stuff that we think is protecting us and making us look good, it's a wall that's keeping us from the beauty of the one we love the most. Amen. Lord, if someone's going to rip that wall down with their hands, let them rip it down. Yeah. rip it down. You're doing me a favor. You know what I mean? You're taking the wall down. Now I get to experience the inward parts. This is good. If you're a wife of the Lamb, you're getting close to his heart that way. You're actually getting into the inward parts now. You know, my God, this is wonderful. Jesus said, it's marvelous in our sight. The stone that the builder rejected, you know, it's the cornerstone. What? Everyone's offended with that. Everyone's offended with that death, that rock of offense, that rock that offends everybody, that crucified, flayed Christ is an offense. Jesus says, no, it's marvelous in our sight. It's marvelous. This is marvelous. This is the good stuff. This is the God stuff. It's marvelous. Everyone may be offended. We marvel that now we get to be us in this realm of darkness and hatred and flesh getting its way and accusing one another and fighting against one another. And he comes down there and he just gives himself and lets them use him, lets them accuse him, lets them skin him. And he loves them and he covers them. God said, this is marvelous in my sight. This is the reason I made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. We can be a part of that when we allow the Lamb to have his way as the burnt offering in this area. Now, let's look at a few practical examples. Noah. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. So, we talked about Genesis, where we saw the skins in regards to Adam and Eve. And that's our first mention of them. And that's in regards to their nakedness, wherein they needed covering. And God covered them. God himself killed a beast and made a skin, and it was a picture of the Father offering his Son, his beloved Son, and offering him unto death that he might cover us. That's the Father who did that. Well, here in Noah, it's the beginning of a new earth, because the earth has been cleansed and purged by the flood, and so now we're coming to a new earth. And isn't it interesting that one of the first test in the first earth, if you will, in Genesis was about covering, in a certain sense. And the first test in the new earth in Noah's time was about covering. What is God testing? He's testing to see if we really got the Lamb. He is. Yeah. Genesis chapter 9, verse 21. And Noah drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered, there it is, uncovered in his tent. Ham saw the nakedness of his father and told his brothers. But Shem and Japheth took a covering garment and they walked backwards and they covered their father's nakedness and they would not behold that nakedness. So Shem and Japheth function as skin. They covered. They covered their father. They covered a vessel that they knew Christ dwelt therein and dwelt in as a covering for them through death and deep, deep death. They saw the covering in the ark. They experienced that nature. They knew it was in their father and they manifested the spirit of the new creation, the Lamb of God in real ways, and did not uncover. But Cain was cursed. If it wasn't Cain, it was Ham. Ham was cursed. He looked at his father's nakedness. He uncovered him and he told, there's no lamb there in Cain, in Ham. There's no lamb. There's no lamb in Cain either. No lamb in Ham. He's just, but what was he doing? Same thing that the serpent was doing to Eve. Beguiling him with the knowledge of good and evil. He shouldn't be drunk. Come on. You know what I'm saying? All these issues. And those issues and that knowledge of good and evil, what did that do to Ham? It made him look at his father's nakedness and uncover him. What was that a violation of? Living as a sacrifice. Well, that's pretty high. Higher than sin. Because this nature was before sin. And this nature paid for all the sin. And this nature covers everything by dying. So you messed up, Dad. You drank too much. So I'm going to violate the nature that we went through that whole experience for. I'm just going to violate this new spirit of the new heavens and the new earth and just poke and prod and judge and uncover and spread and everything contrary to being that sweet savor sacrificed by Christ, by the spirit of the new creation. So covering's a big deal. If we are one with the sacrifice in maturity, then we're ready for the altar. We will function as the skins, and we will be flayed to cover our brother. Lord, I want to be mature. I want to be an adult. I want to be a leader, a formed vessel. You know what I'm saying? We all want that. We all should try it for that. How do I know, Lord? How do I know? Well, are you going to be flayed for the ones who normally you would judge and fume against and uncover with your thoughts, minds, and attitudes? Or are you going to see them in Christ? And that doesn't mean you cover up everything, but die 1,000 deaths if needed so that the Christ that's in them can form and know that that's who they really are. Who they are is the Christ that is in them, and who they will be is that life as he forms. And you're going to give them time for that to happen by bearing with them and dying if you have to and just covering them by the Lamb until that. Well, that's a sign of maturity. That's a real sign that you're growing up in Jesus. It doesn't matter what you know of the word or how much you can preach or teach or sing or quote or, I don't know, all the above. And I have them all in my life, and I'm guilty as charged. You know what I'm saying? Guilty, guilty. How do I know when Jesus is forming in me? This is my acid test. It's not how many songs the Lord can give me or how many things he can open to me in the word or how many trips to Ireland I can take or this, that country. None of that means nothing if I'm in the middle of any of those things and I can't be flayed and just cover and die, you know what I'm saying? And know that it's Jesus, not me. That's when I know something's happening, shaking and moving in the earth. Other than that, I haven't a clue. Is God doing something? I have no idea because I need to be tested. I need to find out, is Jesus really growing in me? I need those opportunities to come where people would hurt me. And then Jesus rises up and covers them. And I know my... I mean, have you ever had an area where you're just like really sensitive? And it's every time just like, oh, don't touch that nerve, don't touch that nerve, because I'm going to have a fit. But I'm going to control it. I'm going to control my epileptic seizure. But I'm going to either go to my room and have it or have it deep within the earth of my being. The volcano is going to stir. You know what I'm saying? And every time the Lord just keeps bringing the person, you're like, what is it with everyone who comes here has that little phobia that drives me? Or it's like he just keeps wheeling them in right off, you know, the factory line. He's like, I'm going to drum up a few more of them. Bring them in just for you. And you're like, oh my gosh. I cannot function. And you're just totally convinced that you will never be Jesus in that area. But you press in, like we're all crying out, and with purpose of heart, you cleave to him, and you're just like, I want, you know, to be the body of the sacrifice, like your spirit, I want you to just do that. You abide. You know, the sap may not have got in yet, but you're not letting go. You're staying grafted, right? Even through all of the, like, hissy fits and epileptic seizures of, I can't handle this. And you don't leave. That's a big one. You don't leave. Let's just be real. I mean, one of our greatest victories in life is that we haven't run screaming and never. I mean, we're just being real right now, aren't we? Yeah. Because look who's in the room. It's just us. I mean, I know we're all on Skype. But just that when the cross came to bear in our life, and how many knows it's a real thing? If I had, like, octopus arms, it's real. And when it really starts touching all those nerves to say, have you really mortified your flesh? Are you really this skin? It was a great class, wasn't it? Yeah, well, let's just push some buttons and see how mortified you really are. You're like, I'm mortified, but it ain't that mortified. Yeah, I'm fixing to head down Highway 35 there. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that you just don't leave is your cleaving with purpose of heart to the sacrifice. I know that's true. It's true of everyone who's ever come here. We all knew, all the students know, we sing the alma mater at our reunions. We stayed. And Jesus says, you are they that, what, never left me. He's like, okay, I qualify that as a victory. Okay, so that's good. That's part of cleaving. Not leaving equals cleaving. Not leaving equals cleaving. Just say that like a mantra when you get in those places. Not leaving equals cleaving. Okay, so you get to that point, and you're like, Lord, if you send another person with that area in them, I may just take a vacation, a short, trip to minister to my family. I think it's on the horizon. I need one of those outreaches to my family. Yeah, really bad. Just a little while, no one will know. Just you and me, God, but it's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. So keep sending them in there. But you keep cleaving. You're not leaving, but then you're cleaving, and you're present in all that great, real heart stuff. All of a sudden, they do their thing. God always has it set up. They're going to be right in that place doing their thing, right in the way that, just pushes every nerve. I know it's coming. Here we go. Walking right into it. And all of it, but you've been like crying out and about, you're just soaking in the oils. You're just eating the sacrifice, drinking the blood, looking, you're just getting real with the sacrifice, eating, drinking, abiding, breathing, all that. You walk in there and all of a sudden just the slightest little thing doesn't go off like an alarm. You just kind of stop and go, oh my God. And you know with every fiber of your being that that was Jesus. He is informed, but he is starting. You go, oh my God. Oh my, and the Lord's like, I'll never fix them until your obedience to death, your death, not theirs, is fulfilled. Until your obedience to your death is fulfilled, I will not deal with their disobedience because they are your little tool or my little tool to take you to the cross in a very real way. And so you know it's not going to change. So all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. Oh my, and everything in you just like, it can happen. At that moment, you know it is possible. It hasn't fully manifested. The government and of his increase, there shall be no end. Good, it's going to take that for this area, but it has begun. And that's when you say that's the true circumcision. That's the beginning, because it was real. It was him. And until then, I am not going to hurt anyone or, leave. But I'm also not going to put forth something in my heart that isn't really the Lamb. I'm going to allow the contrast to convince me that it's not I. So I can really say that was not I but Christ. And there was no pride. There'll be nothing. Nothing but like weeping and thankfulness and groveling in the dust. Because you know you really, really well. The leprous contaminator you are. The violent little beast you can be. All that stuff is me. All the old, I'm everything. Oh, I'm a terribly bad person without the Lord. I'm a wretch. So are you, though, by the way. We all are. No one's special except for Jesus. But we all have to go through that. And when we do, and we do it with this heart for the sacrifice, then it's so wonderful when we start actually just say, Lord, I just want to be your skin. Hey, I'm going for the inward parts. Maybe I'm going too deep too fast. Let's start with the skin. We've been talking about the head, so that's good, because now we're saying it's got to be you, it's not me, you're the source, I uphold you, it's got to be, that's great, but that's still just identification and flow. But when we get to the skin, it's going to be oneness. You are, she's my flesh and my bone, she's my body. Well, he's the head of the body, and we need to abide and identify and be one with that. But when we're talking skin, we're talking flesh, one flesh. One body with the Lamb. So let's not talk about flaying up the inward, slicing up inward parts here. Or setting fire to them. Or being ashes. I don't think we're ready until we're skin. Get the skin off first. The first thing God did to that animal was get the skin off. Let's get the skin off. Get the head dealt with. We did that, but get the skin off. How do we do that? In the very ways that we're talking about tonight. Will we have opportunity to do such a deep spiritual thing in our normal life? Heck yes. This is called practical. Are you worried that God's not going to give you the opportunity to practice this? Oh, he will. He's got them lined up all day long just for you. But that's why we cannot afford to just have teaching, because we're going to go to the funny farm. We're just going to have to leave and, you know, start that company of, you know, flying charter planes or working at Walmart. I don't know what, but it ain't going to work if it's just teaching. But if we fall in love with the Lamb and then we really, really get him instead of doctrine, dude, we're going to be so full of Jesus. We're going to be so full of the Lord in living ways. It's going to be the most amazing thing in the world, because God's going to see his real son. That's why everyone's here. Everyone was here because they have that heart in them. God doesn't draw people. He's drawn us to his son in this way because that heart's in you. I believe that. And that's one of the reasons why it's such a joy to be skinned, because I believe it with all my heart. I know it. And I'm like, how awesome to be with the people who love Jesus and want the Lamb and to bear with one another while they're getting him. I mean, how amazing is that? It's one of the biggest gifts of my life. I remember in Bible school, there'd be students that would come in and different people would have issues. And I remember the Lord going, this is your opportunity to cover, to love, to be me in real ways that reach my heart. Because, you know, when you're covering somebody that's young, they can be taken down by the enemy really fast because they don't have Christ formed in them. They can be, the buzzards can get them really quick. Their own mind can attack them because, you know, it's not renewed. So they're really vulnerable. They're really vulnerable. They need the body to cover them in love while Christ is. They need the covering to protect the seed of God within them that he might be formed. That little baby, you ever seen a little embryo or something? You know, a little 3 months. That little baby can't do anything. It needs mama to protect it. Well, Jesus is forming, and he's not strong enough yet in the younger ones to withstand the enemy and to go to the altar and to do the things that Jesus can do once he's formed. So that's where we come in, and we get to be Christ in a way that reaches the heart of God, because that's his son we're covering. That's literally Jesus. Yes, we love the vessel. We do, but it's Jesus in the vessel. So we're protecting Jesus like the cherubim in his body. And we're doing it in a spirit of love. And we're doing it in a spirit of not judgment, but of judging the cross and everything and the love that's shed when we give our skin for one another. Amen. Isn't it beautiful, guys? I love this one. I really love this one. Lord, we just thank you so much. We just thank you for being the most beautiful skin in the world. And we can't even see it until all the other stuff is shaved off, like my cat Dovey right now. Everything that we thought was beautiful got shaved off. But we get to see you, the beauty of you, the way you give yourself, the way you give yourself for others, the way you're willing to bear things and look diminished and suffer loss and take a few bullets here and there. And not get infected, not get upset, not even think about it. Just give, love, believe, see Jesus, know their hearts, believe in their heart, Lord. Be their cheering squad, Lord, just to be Jesus for one another. Oh, Lord, let us be that way because of you, not because we're just doing it, because of you. Let that spirit grow in us as we begin to be one with the sacrifice, his skin, his body. Holy Spirit, take what's in the scriptures about these things and let them be life in us, his life. And let those who hear be encouraged, Lord, and fall in love when they see you and so deeply that they just want your beauty. More and more and more, Lord, in the practical daily things we walk through with one another in this earth. We love you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.